Blog Talk Radio.
You wanna be real. You wanna be empty inside. You wanna be someone. Laying down your pride. You wanna be someone someday. Lay it all down before the king. Oh yeah. You wanna be whole. You wanna have purpose inside. You wanna have virtue. And purify your mind. You wanna be set free today. Lay it all down before the king. Oh yeah, this is my desire. This is my return. This is my desire to be used by you. Wanna be real, you wanna be emptied inside, and I know my heart is to feel you near, and I know my life is to do your will, is to do your will. This is my desire.
To the Healing Light Show. This is Reverend Stan, Robert Hager, and Chris Crutchfield. How are you guys doing today?
Doing great.
Man, it's a wonderful night here in Eastern Carolina.
Amen, amen. Tonight we're going to be talking about my eyes are open now, I can see. My eyes are open now, I can see. And one of the biggest things that really touches me about this is when the Lord healed the blind man, and the Pharisees took the blind man in front of their council and questioned him about how his eyes got open. And they asked him, said, "Who did this?" And they said, "Jesus." And they said, "Was you really blind?" So they brought his parents in to ask them, "Was he blind from birth?" And they said, "Yes." And they said, "Do you know how he did it?" He said, he said he prayed for me, and he said, you know, that only a man of God can do this type of healing. And then they just kept on questioning him and their parents and all that stuff. And then he looked at them and said, won't y'all become a disciple of Jesus and learn something yourselves? And it kind of really made the Pharisees mad and kicked him out of the synagogue. But, you know, that's what Christ does. When he comes into your life, he opens your eyes to the things that you have been living wrong. He shows you that the things that's been going on in your life that you thought was all right. He reveals a lot of things that was going on in your life that wasn't good. And I know a lot of times, I mean, I've had some friends of mine that actually was living in sin. They never went to church. They weren't saved. And they thought the way the world was going or the way the world teaches them was fine until they started reading the Word and God really started touching their hearts and they found out that they was living in sin. They was living far away from God. And they had no idea until God started touching their heart and started revealing these things where they could change. Now, I'm not saying that only the Word can change you. The Holy Spirit has to change you. He has to change you from the inside out. That's the thing. He has to change you from the inside out and start revealing things to you. Now, you can read all day long, and that may give you some brain knowledge or something, but it ain't going to change you who you are. Only Jesus Christ can change who you are. Only the Holy Spirit can reteach you and redo things in you. So that's the biggest thing. And a lot of people think you can read yourself into this, read yourself into a new man, but you can't read yourself into a new man. The Holy Spirit has got to turn you into that new man. Christ has to turn you into that new man. And that's one of the biggest things we've got to learn. I mean, your eyes first has got to be open, has to be open to how Christ sees things. When you start getting purified, you start seeing the things around you, and you start seeing what you was in. You don't want to be affiliated with it no more. You want to start moving away from that type of stuff. You don't want to be affiliated with them type of friends that you was affiliated with before. That's when your eyes start opening. And I'm going to go ahead and hand it over to Robert. What does this topic mean to you, Robert?
Well, I would like to point out how that I believe that Jesus came to give us more than physical sight. The sight that was lost in Eden when Adam sinned was the ability to see things the way Father sees them. The sight that Adam was given as the Son of God, he lost when he handed his authority over to the enemy. He became blinded to the realm of the Spirit, and he became blinded to the will of the Father to live the life that Father wanted him to live. The nature of the Father that he was supposed to be able to clearly see, he lost his sight, his visual ability to see. And I believe that has a lot to do with what Jesus is talking about when he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Isaiah chapter 61. He's quoted in the book of Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind. I'm going to stop right there. Because the recovering of sight, the ability to see as Father sees, the ability to understand what you're looking at, and to be able to see into the realm of the Spirit what's going on around you. I believe that's what Jesus has restored unto us. It goes beyond being able to see with these physical, natural eyes and being able to see with your mind's eye and the eye of the Spirit. The Word of God literally gives you the ability, the power to have Father's mind, to think Father's thoughts, and to live the way that he wants us to live. Well, I believe that you need spiritual sight to be able to do that. You have to be able to see what the Father is doing so that you can duplicate what you see. So Jesus has restored the sight to those who are blind, the recovery of sight to the blind. The moment we accept him, our spiritual eyes become awakened. They become enlightened. And then it takes from that point on us continuously washing ourselves in the Word of God. It takes us continually meditating. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 says that the law of the Lord, the book of the law, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Let's talk about the word of the Lord. The word of a king, when he speaks, it becomes the law of the land. That's the kind of law that verse 8 is talking about. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you mayest observe. Wait a minute. Doesn't that have something to do with sight? Observe, that you may be able to observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. The Word of God will open your eyes to see. As you meditate on the Word of God, it will cause you to be able to see, to think, and understand Father's heart, his will, his character, and his nature, so that you can duplicate that life in you. There's a lot of things that happened to humanity when Adam sinned. He caused a lot of pain, a lot of torment for humanity with his sin. But Jesus has fixed all of that so that we can walk in this earth as sons of God, viewing life the way that Father designed us to view life, being able to respond to what's going on because we understand who we are, our true identity, and we're able to see and to process things as they're going on around us because we have taken on our Father's eyes, the eyes of his Spirit. They are leading us. That's what we're looking through. We're viewing life through his eyes. If the eye is single, then the whole body is filled with light. And I believe that that's what is so important for us to recognize. Amen?
One thing I do know is that, you know, without the Holy Spirit, the Word is just words. Without the Holy Spirit, you have to have that to activate you into that Son of God. And without that, now in the Old Testament, they didn't have the Holy Spirit. Only the Spirit of God can ascend upon them and leave at that time. They only had words to read and try to get it in their minds to get something to manifest, to just get their minds changed. But as of us, as Christians, since the Lord has ascended into heaven and sent his Holy Spirit amongst us, we have something living within us. Now, that's going to activate those words to really open things to us and to actually have, I'll say, the writer of these words in our heart and teaching us along with the Word of God. And that's the new thing. That's the amazing thing about Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, that he activates all this stuff. See, there before, only thing they could do is go by these rules, by the Ten Commandments and all this stuff, and trying to make themselves go by the law, make themselves go by what it's going, but not feeling it. And the whole time they was living in condemnation because this law that they was walking in, they could not fulfill it. It was impossible. They didn't have the Spirit there to help them. So as us, as Christians, with the Holy Spirit living within us now, is a whole different situation. Our eyes are truly open, and we can truly see when we're fully filled with the Holy Spirit. It's awesome.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
That's good. I like the scripture that it says, for the Father loves the Son, and he shows him all things that he himself is doing, and the Father will show him even greater works than these, so that he may marvel. That's John 15:20, and it's, John 5:19 and 20, or 20, excuse me. But it also is 19, says, therefore Jesus answered, saying to them, truly, truly, I can say to you that the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something that he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. That's really cool because, like, I've just been thinking about how, like, when you see Jesus, you have seen the Father, you know, and he's the perfect example of the Father in manifested form. But I also believe that he laid down his life as God to walk as the Son of Man, because the Bible calls him the Son of Man. And I think that it's very transparent, and like we can truly see how what the Father's will is, what we're to exemplify, you know, or to show. Not that, I mean, you know, we're able to walk like Jesus walked as we're in relationship with the Father, but our ability to compare, and Jesus is that straight line that we measure our straightness by. You know, it's like you don't really know a line's crooked unless you have a straight line behind or beside it. So it's that straight line that really shows us who we are. But also that same scripture, it reminds me of a time when I was meditating on that scripture that says, those things I see my Father doing, I also do. And there's times where the Lord will show you things that are happening before they happen. But most of the time that I've seen that stuff, it's kind of relational. I know there's one time where the Lord showed me something that was a very, like, a milestone in my life. And he did that out of, I guess he just wanted to tell me, you know, and that was awesome. But then there's been times where I've asked him and meditated on that scripture. And as I was asking him about it, he showed me some things that happened like hours after. And I was like, wow, this is really cool. And I think that we have yet to reach our full potential in ministry because we haven't learned to access some of these things as the body of Christ. And I just pray that we do learn to access and get and communicate with the Lord in a way that's truly effective, you know. But it's good either way, whether you're doing it in faith, and, you know, he's moving in faith, and you're just kind of going into it through the unctions of your heart. People are led in so many ways. They see in so many ways. But the cool thing about it is it's where you have faith to receive, the Lord will use that, you know. And so many, and I'm not trying to justify different religions and stuff like that. I'm just saying that God will move on you where you can have faith to move in that area. And I imagine he probably does it a lot too when you're just out of his goodness and will, but I know faith will cause his hand to move on your behalf a whole lot more. And one of my key scriptures is Hebrews 11, 6, where it says, those that diligently seek, or God's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And that's really been a foundation scripture in my life, because I went after God knowing that he's rewarding me for it, knowing that he's going to, you know, show up and manifest. And I just believe that he's there. And the more I go after him, the more he just keeps me encouraged and keeps me walking in love and light. And it's like he really does reward those that seek him. He really does. He honors honors you, and he desires you so much, and he really reveals himself, and that's done in so many different ways, but you know that you know when it's God speaking to you, because it just has an impact, the way it lands on your heart and stuff. But,
amen.
I'll let one of you guys talk.
That's good. Well, you know, this week I got this past, I think it was Wednesday this past week, I was standing at my desk speaking with a young man named Gary Williams, and we was talking about the message of the kingdom. We was talking about how that the kingdom message is all about becoming sons of God. And while we were standing there talking, we were expressing the fact that Jesus only preached the kingdom. Everywhere he went, he promoted the kingdom. That was what he said for us to do. All of us need to seek ye first the kingdom. And everywhere throughout Scripture where he preached to the multitudes, he preached the kingdom. He said the kingdom of heaven is light. The whole 13th chapter of Matthew is about the kingdom and how that the kingdom is and how that we're supposed to pursue it. Matthew chapter 25. The Holy Spirit spoke to me that day while we were talking, and it just brought tears to my eyes because he said it so loud and clear. He said, talent like that, while we were standing there talking about sonship. And since we're talking about your eyes being open tonight, and the topic that I flowed with was how he opens your eyes to see things from the realm of the Spirit, to see clearer what word has already been written for us to study and get a hold of the life that Father desires for us. He said talent. And the first thing I did was I saw immediately how the one with five and the one with two, they saw themselves as sons, and they went out and produced more sons. What did Jesus say? Go make disciples. Go make sons. That's what discipleship is. It's about making sons, helping other people to be able to see who they really are, who we were created to be. The more I looked at this, and I've been looking at this ever since last Wednesday, I've been going over it and over and over it and just praying and meditating on it since last Wednesday, the more I've dived into this, the more revelation has come to me about the topic, because the next thing he showed me was the master, the Lord, didn't just give the one five to one and two to another. He gave one to another, and the one who took what he had and hid it was what Jesus describes as someone whose eyes had become blind. Their ears had become dull of hearing. When we read in Matthew chapter 13, the prophecy from the book of Isaiah, where Isaiah said their eyes become dull, their ears, or their eyes become, hold on just a second, let me turn to it and read it the way it is written so I won't chop it up. It says in Matthew chapter 13, verse 13, Jesus saying, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, they hear not, neither do they understand. All right? And verse 14 says, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, by hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. See, sight, spiritual sight, the ability to see it the way that Father wants it seen. That's what the Holy Spirit empowers us to do. He spoke to me and said, talent. And immediately I understood that whole parable like I've never seen it before, like I've never heard it preached before. It was illuminated to me. Revelation came concerning those who did the right thing with the gift of God that was given them. They went out and made other disciples. They made other sons. What was the original command? Go be fruitful and multiply. The one with the five, he went out and turned it into ten. The one with the two went out and turned it into four. The one with the one, He hid the gift of God that was in him. He did not do anything with the gift of God that was in him because his eyes couldn't perceive. His ears were dull of hearing. He called the Lord a tyrant. He said that you reap where you've not sown. He said a bunch of bad things about our Father, which signifies that he did not have the proper relationship with the Father. He didn't really know him. So he hid the gift of being a son that Father deposited in every human, the power to choose life and death, the power to choose blessing and cursing. That is the talent that has been put within each and every one of us, that we can be sons. If we see things the way Father wants them seen, then our eyes of understanding will be open to be able to live his life, the life that Jesus modeled before all humanity, so that we could see what Father desires. That is what he said to me, and it just like made me cry. I just stood there and cried just at the revelation of being a son, how that the talent is that power that has been deposited within every human. Every human has the ability to choose. You can either choose to be like Elohim, our creator, God in a physical body, or you can choose to be like plain dirt, which is the rest of the world without Jesus as Lord of our lives, without relationship with our Heavenly Father. Father wants us to see, to have eyes to see, ears to hear, to be able to understand and to perceive his heart, his character, his nature, so that we can let that life live out of us, but not just for us, but for us to take what we see, what we comprehend and understand, and go out and share it with someone else, disciple them, mentor them, cause them to be able to see and understand that they are a son. Stanley said it just a few minutes ago about the blind man whose eyes were opened by Jesus. He said, wow, man, you guys need to become a disciple too. Woo! He got a revelation. He could see clearly, not just through his physical eyes, but he saw clearly through his spiritual eyes that Jesus was the Messiah. And he accepted Jesus as Messiah, and he started telling other people that they needed Jesus as their Messiah too. And I believe that is what we need to really be focused on in this last day move of God, being able to see it the way Father wants it seen, to comprehend and to understand that his desire is to have a royal family full of sons who go out and every day, all the time, they're meditating on his word. They're focused on his desire. They want him glorified and magnified in their lives. They want people to be drawn to him. And our whole life is centered around that revelation and demonstrating that revelation. As we get the revelation of Jesus, and allow that revelation to manifest in us, it becomes easier and easier to do this. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so does he live. Can I get a witness up there?
Hey, one thing I was thinking about is that for Christians, especially being baptized in the Holy Ghost and they're born again, God is enthroned inside of you, because he says in his scriptures that he will come and make his home and abode in your heart. So it's like being able to see has everything to do with knowing that God says greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So it's like we have inside information in every situation we get into, and we can access the mind of Christ and the ability of God and the confidence of God, and just tap right into that flow, because he said that he'll cause rivers of living water to come out of you. And I believe that's for every situation. And I believe that kind of extra sense that we're given is faith, you know, and just knowing. And the more you go after God, the more you see that what he's already done for you and what's already yours. But Paul prayed in Ephesians that our hearts being enlightened, that we might know the width and depth and breadth and the mysteries of Christ, you know. So it's like in his light we see light, you know. In his light we get the revelation. We, by holding things before him, he leads us and guides us, you know. So like our ability to see and what to do and how to respond, it's always in line with faith, though. It's always the right move. Faith is always the right move because it's trusting God, and it's trusting God no matter what kind of ditch you put yourself into. I always believe that faith is the answer, faith in Jesus Christ. And that's one of the things that gets so twisted around, you know, about like I've heard people saying stuff about like, oh, they believe in going to heaven and this stuff, and that's weird. And I mean, all this stuff is in Christ. Like, apart from Christ, it becomes like demonic, or you know, it's like Jesus is the way. He's the gate. He's the door. He's the one that opened the veil to the Father, you know. And I mean, it's just amazing the rights and privileges that we have in Christ, and just tapping into his ability is all. Go ahead, Stan.
It's awesome because, you know, the Lord does open your eyes and he lets you see things for how they really are. A lot of times our problem is we don't see things for how they really are. A lot of times we're memorized from things, and we're used to seeing the bad things, and we're so used to seeing the way the world reacts, the way they live, the way they go on, and we just think it's normal. You know, hey, we can go and steal, we can cuss somebody out, we can rob. It's what they do on TV. It's what we do. That's fine. And when you're walking in this and you don't know better, and then the Lord comes and opens your eyes to his love, to his connection to the Father, to all of this, and you see this is not right. It's like all the things that you used to do ain't really right. You was living in a wrong life. You weren't living in the way God has created us to be. And it's like the drapes are pulled back and you start changing because you don't want to live like that no more. You don't want to participate in things like that no more. I've seen a lot of Christians that the drapes ain't been completely opened yet, so they don't really see what's going on. But I have saw a lot of people that is spirit-filled and the Lord has been working on them. I'm going to tell you, the Lord's working on all of us, changing us daily. You know, he's on changing us daily and showing us different things all the time. And he's pulling the crap out and putting the light in. I'll just put it to you like that all the time. He's changing us. And I'll say, you know, maybe tomorrow might be something different he's going to work on us about, because he does all of us. I mean, all of us is not completely there yet mentally. You know, we're all changing. And somebody says they are, you know, something's wrong, because I know I'm not there yet. I'm still work in progress right now. But I'm just saying, you know, we're changing. And if somebody is not changing, their eyes is not really open. They are not seeing what is going on yet. And, you know, I've noticed even in my own walk, I started changing. I don't do what I used to do. I don't like being around what I used to be, because the Lord has opened my eyes. In the walk of Christ, you start seeing things. You start seeing things, what's wrong and what's right. And a lot of times the Lord will show you things, what is not right. You know, when you're sensitive to the Spirit, you can tell these things. God has gave you a sensitivity that other people don't have, and you can tell these things. You can see these things. They can't lie to you no more, because you have been sensitive. Christ has renewed you and made you sensitive to this stuff, and you could feel these things. That's why it's so very important to walk with the Lord, to have Him to start changing you. You know, beg, say, Father, you know, Lord, I want, you know, put your mind, you know, I want the mind of Christ, Lord. You know, work on me, change me. I'm begging you to change me. I want to be a new man. I want to constantly be changed. I know your soul, your spirit is changed, but your mind is constantly being transformed. Your body is constantly being transformed. You're turning into this new man. And we all constantly are going through this, but you've got to want it. You've got to go after it. And I'm telling you, you know, the more you change, the more you see things. And a lot of new Christians, like I say, the door is pulled completely open, and you see things that you didn't before. And I was listening to a minister on 106.9 the other day, and said he had some people that came to his services that said, hey, you know, my friends don't like me no more, and I don't like them no more because I'm not interested in their stuff anymore. He's like, Pastor, what do I need to do? And the pastor was like, well, I ain't really preached on this, but the Holy Spirit's already teaching you. He said, just let the Holy Spirit guide you and get in the Word, and, you know, let Him start transforming you, because He's going to be the teacher anyway. I'm only a temporary teacher, but He's a everyday teacher to you. So the Holy Spirit is constantly teaching you and showing you. And I really feel if you do something wrong and you think it's all right, and you're not getting urged by the Holy Spirit saying that's not right, something's wrong. Something's wrong. The Holy Spirit will guide you and push you and show you the right directions to go. And that's one of the main things. We got to live by the Spirit, because the Spirit of Lord Jesus is going to guide you in the right direction. It's very important. And, I mean, I've seen a lot of this stuff and how people change, and some that ain't really changed, but they want you to believe they are. And it's just, you know, the Holy Spirit guides you. He starts renewing you. And, I mean, I saw a lot of brothers in Christ that the Lord has did a lot of work on, and they're like a completely different person. And you can see how they are changing a little at a time, like we all are. We are all changing a little at a time. But it's just allowing the Lord to do this. You can stop it if you want to. You can say, hey, I like my old self. I just want to go in that way. And then, you know, God ain't going to mess with your free will. I'm telling you, He won't mess with your free will. If you want to go back to your own lifestyle, that's you, and He'll let you do that. But I'm going to tell you, it's going to be rough for you. So when the Lord starts transforming you, stay with that. Let Him guide you. Let your eyes be open more and more each day, and I guarantee you, you'll see a big improvement. You'll see things start opening up for you. And I'm not going to tell you it's going to be easy, because it ain't. But you will start seeing improvements in your life.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Hey, one thing I was going to say that one of you guys has already touched on some is the importance of the Word and seeing in the Word, because the Word, like when you're sick, man, you need to know that the Lord heals me of all of my diseases, like Psalm 103 says, you know. And, and when you're feeling defeated, you need to know that I'm more than a conqueror through Christ who loves me, you know, which is Romans 8:37. And you're not without power, for you you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You know, I mean, all those things cause you to see and cause you to know. And faith is just knowing God and knowing who He is. And in that same scripture I was talking about, He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. That's translated another way that He is able to do. He is who He said He is, and He's able to do what He said He will do. And and His word is who He is, and is He does what He says He will do.
Yes, and amen.
It's us just getting in agreement with it, you know.
Come on, that's right. Amen. You just quoted Isaiah 55, 8 through 11. The last part, 11, it says, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth, it shall accomplish whatsoever I say for it to accomplish, and not return void unto me. That if we mix the word with faith, then faith in the word produces the abundant, lavish life that Jesus promises to the believer. We have been given the keys to the kingdom. We've been given the weapon of our warfare. We've been given everything that we need. It's mighty. It is not carnal, for the pulling down of strongholds, systems of thinking that is contrary to the Father, so that we can walk victorious. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. He has already handed us the victory through his death, burial, and resurrection, his whipping, beating, and bruising, everything that he did, even the 3 years of ministry that he walked around demonstrating with power and authority what a son of God is supposed to look like. Everything he did, he has already handed us the victory. We're fighting a fixed fight. All we have to do is get a hold of the plan and the purpose of the Father, which has never changed. Get a hold of it. Take the word that he has given us, the sword of the Spirit, the weapon of our warfare. It works in every realm of existence, spirit, soul, and body. Take the word of God. It's able to save your soul. It has already saved your spirit if you believe in Jesus, and it will keep your body whole. It will heal your body. It will heal your mind. It will cause you to walk on water if you have to. That's how awesome the word of God is, and we have got to get a hold of that and just run with it every day. Every day is another day to show Father how much you love him and you trust what he says. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
It cuts out the doubt.
Amen. Amen.
It cuts out the doubt, man. Go ahead, Sam.
It gets rid of everything that ain't supposed to be there so that you can be left with the tree of life. A tree
Amen.
That is planted by a river of living water. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Anybody out there that's not accepted Christ, I invite you at this time, if you'd like to go through his prayer and actually invite him into your heart at this time, if you'd like to. Just say this prayer along with us, and the Lord will come right into your heart. Just say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I invite you into my heart.
I invite you into my heart.
I accept you as my Lord and Savior.
I accept you as my Lord and Savior.
I accept that you died on the cross for me.
I accept that you died on the cross for me.
I accept that you rose on the third day for me.
I accept that you rose on the third day for me.
Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I hand all my sins and trespasses to you.
I hand all my sins and trespasses to you.
I fully hand my life over to you, Lord.
I fully hand my life over to you, Lord.
Lord Jesus, come into my heart now.
Lord Jesus, come into my heart now.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
If y'all have just said this, he has just came into your heart. Welcome to the family. And
yes, amen.
You know, there's a lot of. A lot of things there. I mean, this is just a start. There's a lot more other things you need to do to get connected into a church, get connected into the Word. Just get you a Bible and just start. Just have God to guide you, or just find you a nice Bible study group nearby that can actually help you with different things. And it's always nice. But we're trying to, bring people to the Lord here on the show. We try to do that a lot, and well, that's what the show's about. But we're trying to get a more of an opportunity during the shows to do this. Sometimes we get in interviews and stuff, and we don't get to completely to do this prayer, but we're going to try to do that more often. And sometimes we run out of time, but we're going to start sticking this in there more often than what we was. But welcome to the family, everybody, and the Lord is going to richly touch you and develop you, and the Holy Spirit is going to fully start working on you and guiding you to the right churches. And I'm going to tell you this, I had my mother-in-law, she was actually saved back years ago, but she kind of fell out of church, and she came to a little home meeting that we had here, and I baptized her in the Spirit, and I told her, I said, find a church, you know, nearby that you need to go to. Just have the Holy Spirit to lead you. And I actually prayed this over her, and she went home and found a Baptist church near her house, and she's been going faithfully every Sunday. Faithfully.
Amen.
Every Sunday, going to Bible study. She found that church. It really touched her heart, and she's really dedicated. I'm going to tell you, that's
Amen.
What the Lord could do with y'all too.
Hey, Stan, let me interrupt you a second. Like, I just really feel like the Lord is saying to somebody out there that not only does he want your sins and your transgressions, but he wants your cares and your concerns and your wills, and he wants you to really yield those to him, because he's really got a plan for your life, and he really wants to use you in it. Tremendous way. The only way that you're going to fulfilled is to completely give him everything and allow him to be the Lord of your life. Because there's somebody that's struggling with a decision, and I really, really feel like that he just wants to take that care off of your shoulders and completely release it to him and allow him. It says, take no concern, take no care, be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known. So just give that to him and allow him to move on your behalf, and don't pick it up again. Just keep it in his hat. In his lap. Every time that thing begins to bug you, just say, Lord, thank you that I'm giving this care to you, this concern. I'm giving it to you, so you lead me and you got me. You're my Lord. In Jesus' name. So that's how you deal with that.
Yeah. At this time, the Lord is pushing on me to pray for baptism of the Holy Spirit for anybody in the audience that wants this. And I normally go through a long prayer that I normally have people to say, but I'm not going to do it this time. I feel that this should be short and sweet. We shouldn't have to go through a long prayer, but that is how I was taught. But the Lord can do it without any long sayings at all. So it's pretty easy for Him. Uh-huh. Only thing He has to do is just let it happen. So at this time, if anybody wants a baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now, this is not what you have to do. This is just letting the Lord know that you're wanting this. See, any type of movement is you know, opening, saying, hey, I want this. Okay. Why don't you just stretch your hands open and just say, you know, Lord, I like the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Just say that. Just say, Lord Jesus, I love to have baptism of the Holy Spirit. Just say that now, just before I start to say, Lord, I love to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, Father, I ask you to baptize everybody that is wanting this baptism of the Holy Spirit. Just fill them with your fire. Fill them full of your spirit. Fill them full of your fire. Just activate them now. Just fully baptize them in the Holy Spirit right now, Lord. Just baptize them now in Jesus' name. Just baptize them now.
fill them from the top of their heads to the bottom of their feet with the Holy Spirit. Just baptize them. Just fill them up, 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 fill them up with fire and power, Holy Father. In Jesus' name, just fill them up, fill them up, fill them up as you did the day in Pentecost. Just fill them up with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Just fill them up. Fill their bellies and their hearts with rivers of living water. Just fill them up. Fill them up, Father. Just fill them up, 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 fill them up. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Just send your fire upon them. Send the fire of the Holy Spirit upon them. Just activate them. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. And so it is.
Amen.
So it is.
God is good. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. If I may take this time to read a writing that Holy Spirit gave me back a year ago, May 31st, and the title is Eyes to See, Ears to Hear. I understand how important this writing is going to be based on the hour and a half that I lay awake hearing Holy Spirit say, eyes to see, ears to hear. This is a personal reference, guys, from where I actually laid here in my bed for hour and a half and I kept hearing him say it over and over, eyes to see, ears to hear. I'm going to start back reading. Jesus had just preached his greatest sermon ever, and his disciples didn't comprehend, and so they asked, why did he do so? In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, verse 11 says, because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. He then proceeds to explain how the enemy of God and man is able to take the most powerful force in existence away from humanity due to their own ignorance and lack of understanding. Verse 12, those who understand will receive even more revelation, and those who have no understanding will be even more confused. He even goes as far as to tell us that Isaiah the prophet foretold that he would do things this way. Up until this point in the history of man, we were unaware of the severity of demonic influence, nor how things work concerning the realm of the spirit. People were living based on physical and soulish knowledge and understanding, and totally ignoring that which is a greater truth in the realm of the unseen. After Jesus tells everyone what the problem is, which was hardened hearts, dull hearing, closed eyes, which are things that each of us can do something about. He then says to his disciples in verse 16 and 17, blessed are your eyes and ears, because many prophets and kings desired to be alive in the earth during that time so that they could have the opportunity, just like they were getting, to experience God in the flesh and to have the opportunity, as Joel prophesied, the Spirit would come upon all flesh, having eyes to see and ears to hear. I now understand that they wanted to be restored. They wanted to be restored, live by grace through faith, and be a part of the set-apart body of Christ, able to house the Holy Spirit without measure, which has always been Father's intention anyway. All mankind has been given the same opportunity to have eyes to see and ears to hear. Stop. The parable of the talents. He gave five to one, two to another, and one to one. Even the one who didn't do anything with it was given the ability to do something, but he chose not to. All mankind has been given the same opportunity to have eyes to see and ears to hear, and that is why it's so important that we understand the Word, which is the incorruptible seed. The Word is God, and when God is planted in you, with an understanding, it will produce 100% if you allow it to take root and produce fruit. The enemy whom Jesus defeated for us is unable to come into your garden and take away the seed sown in you. The only power that he and his crew of misfits possess is what you give them through fear, doubt, unbelief, offense, hardened hearts, closed eyes, dull hearing, and last but not least is self-righteous religious pursuits, that is, man's attempt to restore relation with Father by his own efforts. The entire 13th chapter is parable after parable concerning the kingdom of heaven, which is our Father's desire for us to experience, and then Jesus points out how the enemy is able to stop mankind from benefiting from the abundant life that is produced by the Word of God. These things which have been kept secret from the fall of man so we can be restored to our Father are now known. And he says that in the 35th verse. Father hid them from the devil, but desires that we understand, we see. By attending to his word, we are informed of the things that are mystery to the world. The word planted and given top priority produces wholeness with abundance in our lives. Have faith to see and hear spiritual. Amen.
Amen.
Wow, that really sums up a lot of what we talked about.
Yeah. Pretty good.
That's awesome.
He is awesome.
Uh-huh.
Years off, and he gave me that a year ago, February 31st, for
Amen.
1.5 hours. Amen.
Amen. That's awesome,
man. Amen. We serve a
mighty God. Keep knocking, ask, keep asking, and seek and keep seeking, because God,
yes,
God wants to show you great and mighty things.
Amen. Amen.
And do major exploits with your life.
Amen.
And more than anything, he wants that relationship. Yeah.
There you go. There you go.
Amen.
Hunger and thirst for it. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
We serve a mighty God.
I'll just give an indication. There's somebody in the audience is wanting liberation. They want mental liberation. They're wanting a spiritual liberation. They want to be completely redone. They just want to have this knowing. I have a feeling that they're wanting this, and the Lord says you're going to get that liberation you're looking for, that mental liberation that you want. You want to be transformed, and that this is going to happen. It's going to be slowly, but it's going to happen. The Lord is okaying this. You've been having issues. I don't know whether it's stress. I don't know whether you've been like this all through your life. You've had trauma. You've had all types of things. But God is sending you this liberation that you're asking for, that you've been really pulling for, and this is going to happen. God is setting this loose on you. It's just it's being given to you slowly, but keeping the word of God, and it's gonna lead you to where you want, and the Holy Spirit's gonna be activating this. This is gonna be happening to you. That's one thing. That's one word of knowledge I just got. But I do want to tell people about the Healing Light conferences that we're doing pretty soon. We got one July the 11th. Me and Robert and Heath Adams, Chuck McDonald, and Jacob Phillips is going to be doing. It's going to be a night of in the Word of God. We're going to be talking about healing and transformation and all that good stuff. The Lord is telling us, you know, that some great things are going to come out of this event. People are going to be getting healed and transformed. And, you know, come expect the miracle that you've been looking for. Expect the healing you've been praying for. Just come to this meeting and come expecting, and the Lord will deliver. It's going to be some amazing things happen at this event. And then we have another event that's going to happen in South Carolina. It's going to be July the 31st to the first of August. And it's going to be
amazing event too, because, you know, we're going to be teaching, you know, evangelism, street evangelism. We're going to be teaching people how to activate in the power of God. Chris Crutchfield is going to be there. Robert Hager is going to be there. I'm going to be there. Chuck McDonald, and we're going to have our guest speakers are going to be Patty and Dave Ledge, and they're going to be activating and teaching people how to walk in the power of God right and walk in prophecy. And Chris most likely is going to help with this prophecy part, but really teach people how to do this stuff and how to walk in this. It's just not for the famous ministers out here. It's for everybody. Everybody's supposed to be walking in these gifts, and they're going to help teach you how to do this. We're all going to be working with y'all, so it's going to be an amazing event. You know, check us out online. It's, you know, it's going to be an amazing thing. We're going to advertise this more pretty soon. Right now we're trying to push the July 11th in Hickory, North Carolina event. We're trying to get people to come out and get touched by the hand of God, and it's going to be amazing. What do you think about all this, Robert?
Hey, man, I was just sitting here thinking. I have been focusing my heart so intensely on preaching the message that Jesus preached, the way that Jesus preached it. You know, Paul the Apostle, he preached the gospel, and people who were lame got up and were made whole in his meetings. That's the gospel, the good news that you are now able to be a son. You are able to be filled with the Holy Spirit without measure. I'm so pumped in just thinking about how awesome the message is going to be. So everybody needs to come. Expect to hear the word of God that's going to change you, that's going to transform you and transfigure you into the image of a son of God. For that is the desire and the plan of the Father from the get-go. He's looking for a bunch of sons. Come to this conference and find out how you can walk in the revelation of being a son, your true identity. That is the gospel. That is the news that is too good to be true. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. It's going to be an awesome event. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Chris, we're going to look forward for you to come into the South Carolina. You can't make it to the North Carolina one, but South Carolina, you're going to be there, and it's going to be exciting to get to work with you again.
Yeah,
Chris, you're
going to
be there.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, he's going to be at South Carolina event.
Okay, great.
I'm
I get to meet my brother, too.
That's
cool. Yep. But I do want to tell everybody to stay tuned to the Seth Roth Show. They're getting ready to broadcast the Art Thomas event, or the Art Thomas interview that we got to film. We got to sit in the audience up close. We was guests of Art Thomas to sit up front to watch him get interviewed. And if you watch this interview, you'll see me and Robert and our wives watching Art Thomas get interviewed. And it's going to be amazing. Just, you know, that's our debut there. I don't know whether we'd get another one like that, but that was more of a special event. But anyway, I got to see the preview last night on Sid Roth, and we were sitting there and clapping and waving and stuff, and that was pretty cool. But and plus, you get to see Art Thomas and hear what he's all about. So just check out that show. It's going to be broadcast next week. So just check out your local broadcast, whoever Sid Roth show is broadcast through, and you know, and you get to see that and see what he's all about. And we did a show with Art on here before, but you get to see him in live, in person. You actually get to see what he's all about, and get to see what his personality's about and stuff, and it's kind of awesome. So stay tuned to that.
So I say fire on y'all in Jesus' name. Fire on you, fire on you.
Amen.
Fire on
you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
I just say that because I feel it.
Amen.
It makes me happy.
Amen. Amen. That's awesome.
Amen.
Well, say God bless. God bless everybody, and I hope this broadcast has touched you. And we'll see you Saturday morning.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.
We have raised a thousand voices just to lift your holy name. And we will raise thousands more to sing of your beauty in this place. When none can even fathom, no, not one define your worth. As we marvel in your presence, glory.